Bert and Linda Pugash first made headlines in 1959 when their tumultuous relationship turned violent. Mr. Pugash spent 14 years in prison for arranging an attack on the young Bronx woman, which left her practically blind. Then, in a dramatic real-life plot twist, the couple married 8 months after Mr. Pugash was released from prison and have been together ever since. Filmmaker Dan Clores captures their story in his documentary Crazy Love, which opens at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas 6, the Landmark Sunshine, and City Cinemas 1, 2, 3 today. I'm very pleased it has brought him to my show. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
When did you first hear about the Pugashes?
When I was about 9, 10 years old, living in Brooklyn in 1959. Big news story. Grew up in a household filled with the papers, not the New York Times. And I just remember that it stayed with me. Such a horrific crime, even as a 9-year-old, such a pretty girl.
Well, when did you think that this might make an interesting film?
Didn't think about it ever again. I mean, I had a vague recollection that he got out of jail and they got married. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, when I was completing Ring of Fire, I read an article in the Sunday section of the New York Times, and that just jarred my memory.
Ring of Fire was about Emil Griffith. And that was another kind of tragic story. Right. Your previous films have mostly been about sports. So this is a kind of departure, isn't it?
Not really. Boys of Second Street Park was about the counterculture. It was a horrific one sheet that had a basketball on it.
Wow.
And Ring of Fire, yeah, it's about a boxer.
Yeah, but it's really about a boxer who kills an opponent.
And issues of sexuality, of course. Yeah.
Now, do you just call up the Pugashes and say, I want to make a movie about it?
Actually, I was going to call the reporter at the Times and try to get a number because they lived in Rego Park, but I dialed information and they were listed. So.
And what was your first meeting with them like?
I went to lunch with them in the diner that's in the film, I had a different idea. It was somewhat of a hybrid of a feature on the doc. I was mostly concerned with this the concept of obsession. And it ranged from surprising to entertaining to alarming, my first meeting. Bert's world revolves around himself and himself only. And here I was taking Linda's coat off, pulling out her chair, buttering her toast, and Bert would for a few minutes seem just like a nice old man, but then the pathology would begin.
Well, both of them are very open about their feelings, and it's kind of stunning some of the things they say in front of each other. Even the way they describe how they reacted when they met.
It's difficult to. I think all of us have disguises. Linda's is. It's 50 years worth. She was a pretty to beautiful, sheltered little girl in the Bronx.
People compared her to Liz Taylor, although she's not that beautiful. But still, she must have thought that she was beautiful because people told her that all the time.
That's right. And her physical beauty was the one thing that gave her any sense of confidence because both of them grew up in the 40s and 50s, in unusual circumstances, no real father figure, dominating mother, and each being told in some ways to fear and resent the other sex.
But they are mismatched in a lot of ways. He really was attracted to her because she was beautiful. She thought he was kind of weird looking. And then there was a major disparity in their economic positions.
At the time, yes. Although each came from this, at best, lower middle class household. Yeah, they emotionally offered one the gaps that people are looking for. He needed the self-satisfaction of being with a beautiful woman, and she was impressed by his grandeur. He was a very successful negligence attorney at the time.
And he really just showered her with things, flowers, rides to and from work, trips on his private plane. Could be seen as romantic or could be seen as obsessive.
Well, I don't think she was sophisticated enough at first to see it any other way, and then the obsession started. He dropped her off at breakfast, picked her up for lunch, took her to lunch, picked her up at work, and was with her all the time.
But
Bert had a big lie.
Well, he was married. And how did he keep that marriage going?
Well, that's what started the so-called problem, that he kept this marriage from her. Bert was a philanderer, and it's interesting in the film, and he says so many things that they're great lines. You have to sort of pay attention to it. My father, he says, never should have married my mother. She thought he was no good. That's why he philandered a lot. And he says it like there's nothing to question about that at all.
Or nothing that relates to his own behavior.
Well, he cannot look at the world in any semblance. He doesn't look at the world as a normal person. He's not normal.
So how did Bert try to fix the situation when she found out that he was married?
Well, Bert would lie. Bert would con. Bert was a very, very, very bright man and still is. The psychiatric records say his IQ is probably about 137. So Bert would deceive her in all sorts of ways, in ways that he even had his own father visit Linda's mother to convince Linda, yes, he will be getting a divorce. He drew up his own divorce papers. They were phony papers. He had his friend, the great-looking actor, a C-plus actor of the day, Keith Purcell, visit her. He needed her. He had to bring her in. So what was it about? Was it about Bert's own lack of psychological and emotional development? And my conclusion is yes, more that than about Linda.
Well, she breaks up with him, and were there any warning signs that he might be dangerous?
Yes, there were a lot of warning signs when she breaks up with him. This is 1959. This is an era of pre-feminism. There's no protection for women, especially a woman that grows up with only women. She had no father, no uncles, grandfathers, brothers to protect her. So here's Bert, day after day, doing something that we now know as stalking, which was a word then, but it didn't pertain to what it does now. So Bert would threaten her, stalk her, follow her, at the same time shower her with more and more gifts.
And she had another boyfriend by now.
And now she met a young boy. And she would go to the police, the 42nd Precinct in the Bronx. And remember, it's 1959. Where's the proof, they would say, and worse, he's a lawyer. We can't do anything about it.
Well, it's kind of, nobody ever questioned his mental health because...
Yes, they questioned his mental health. Those around him, his co-workers, even his secretary, if you recall, months before he was put into to the psychiatric ward at a hospital in the Bronx. But Bert, as Linda says, was relentless. And without anyone to protect her, what could she do? She went to the police. She went to the district attorney's office.
Now, you would think that would mean that she would never want to see him again, especially after he had her blinded. He went to prison. They wind up getting back together.
Bert went to prison after a three-year ordeal in the courts in New York City. Finally, in 1962, he was initially sentenced to 30 years, and he served 14 in mostly places like Attica. And even then, his obsession continued. But now Linda is almost totally blind, going totally blind, living alone. Her mother and grandmother were ill and passed away, respectively. She had a menial job until she lost all of her sight. She still retained some of her physical beauty, so when she would meet other men, two in particular, she was faced with the tremendous crisis of I have to reveal myself. I have to take off these sunglasses sooner or later. And when she did, the men left her. So that's what's going on in her mind. In addition...
So Bert, she feels very dependent at this point, just, I mean, or hopeless, vulnerable anyway.
Frightened to death.
And he sends her money.
He begins to send her money later in his prison stint, arranged, by the way, through his new attorney, William Kunstler. Kunstler actually calls Linda and convinces her. He's one of a few people that when Bert gets out after he sends her money, that they should get together. I spoke to Ron Kuby, and he said, Kunstler's a partner, of course, and disciple, and he said, well, not one of Bill's finest hours.
And then they got married, and their relationship has survived for something like 33 years, despite Bert's most recent encounter with the law.
About 10 years ago, 70 years old, Bert had another affair with a much younger woman. And he after 5 years of seeing each other, she reported him for threatening her. And there was a two-week trial in Queens County where Bert defended himself and won. He was declared not guilty of seven of the eight charges and only pled to it wasn't even a misdemeanor. It was a summons for something.
But she stood by him.
The movie is called Crazy Love. Bert's character witness in this trial was Linda.
In France, it would be called L'Amour Fou, and it actually has even a better meaning in French than crazy love. It's the kind of love that you just cannot explain. But one of the other things that people should know about this film is that it also captures time periods. You have some of the most wonderful archival footage, things, some of which I've never seen before. And it was important for you to tell the story as part of telling the story of the 50s and the 60s all the way to today?
Yes. I mean, it's sort of what unknowingly what I'm interested in. It's the New York that I grew up in, and I felt that New York, I need to show the larger atmosphere before I go into the emotional atmosphere of the two characters.
Well, the weirdest part, of course, must have been the conversations you had with Linda and Bert. How long did they go generally?
Well, they were the last people I interviewed.
So you already kind of knew all the details of the story.
Details, yes. All my secondhand research, my primary research, court records, medical records, psychiatric, police, interviewing many other people. But there was nothing like interviewing the two of them, which I insisted needed to be separate, and that was over a period of days in their apartment. But it was amazing what I learned there, amazing what I learned with them.
Crazy Love opens today at a number of theaters, the Lincoln Plaza Cinema 6, the Landmark Sunshine, and the City Cinemas 1, 2, 3. It tells the L'Amour Fou story of Bert and Linda Pugash, who are still married. And my great thanks to Dan Klaus, who made this film, for being with us to talk about Crazy Love.
Thanks so much for having me here. Thank you.